The underdog is howling.
Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Welcome in week 7 of the college football season. And there's not a lot of things that are sticking out, but we will get to that very soon. But first, I just want to say, check out me and my guy SVP on the SV Pod. This week, we're debuting a new segment. It's called What I Love. Scott's trying not to hear any more about negativity, even though I still have a thing I hate this week. So there's that. But follow the SV Pod wherever you get your podcasts. And also, hockey's return to ESPN, if you haven't heard. The music and everything is back. And the NHL is starting back, and that means you can stream your team's games on ESPN+. You can watch every team from the Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning to the brand new Seattle Kraken. Subscribe to ESPN+ so you don't miss a goal. And be sure to follow In the Crease, the new NHL podcast with Linda Cohn and Emily Kaplan. Bear, how are we doing today?
We're all right. We're kind of in that. This is like the week every year, that third week of October, where and you just kind of got to get through it, get over the hump of the travel starting to get a little. You really want to get on a plane, tired, but you get through this week, and then you start seeing some bigger games. Definitely at the end of the month, in the month of November. So we're just getting through this week, and then we'll be good.
Awesome.
Hard week to be inspired for. That's for sure.
Yeah. I've had this one circled. I actually circled this one for you a while ago. I said, take a look at October 16th obviously preseason, I thought there was actually a possibility you could be at Miami at North Carolina, knowing, the hype that was coming in. And as we've seen, teams not really able to handle the hype, and things starting to kick in all over the country. We discussed the Alabama Georgia prop last week, I believe Caesars had it at -240. That's obviously, I don't want to say adjusted, but I think there's some different looks at that now.
It's adjusted, but it's -260 now, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think anything's changed in terms of like Alabama and Georgia still being the two best teams. Alabama had a bad night, and I think obviously that happens. You sometimes upsets happen. I think the way to look at it though is, for college football purposes, it's a good thing now because Alabama is in a must win situation every week now. The rest of the year they have to win the SEC championship to get in the playoff, because I don't think the committee would put a two-loss Alabama team in, and they probably shouldn't based on some of the other teams that might be available there. So I still think the prop is a good play. I think maybe you play the prop and maybe you play Ohio State. Maybe it might be the best price, the most feasible price as a team that potentially could beat Georgia or Alabama. So has a Heisman Trophy finalist or contender ever not started the season and basically came in midway through October? Because what Caleb Williams brings to Oklahoma, that's the Oklahoma offense that we kind of thought we were going to see this year. And with the race being so wide open, I mean, his the dimension that he brings and running the football and just the energy and the jolt that he brings to the Sooners. Might be interesting to see what happens if anybody decides to put a Caleb Williams number, because I haven't seen one yet.
Yeah, that goes against all my inkling that started with NBA MVP. I always think games played should be a serious data point. So I'm sure I think Mitch Moss sent out somebody that somebody possibly did throw out a number
really
on him. I thought, how you feel? You have Travion from Ohio State. You might have a ticket there.
I might have a ticket on him. Yes.
All right. What might that number be?
65-1.
Okay. All right. Something to keep an eye on. Buckeyes obviously off this week. Would you take their offense over anybody in the country?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, I would.
Nothing against Maryland's defense.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, as stout as the Terps are, getting after the quarterback and in the secondary, I think I'd have to take that Buckeye offense over everyone in the country. And they do have, I believe, the number one rated offense in terms of expected points as well. And certainly you look at the teams, Oklahoma's offense maybe has a chance now with Williams if he is that guy. Alabama, I guess, would be in that mix as well. But yeah, I'm taking the Ohio State's offense over anybody.
You're going to Athens. What is it? Second time in 3 weeks?
Yep. Second time in 3 weeks. I went back and look. It's the first time since 2014 we are in the same site twice in a 3 week span.
Do you know what the time was before that?
Before what? 2014?
Yeah. That you went to
never.
Never. Wow. Because yeah. It started making me think was it's actually one of the first years I started traveling a lot. And it felt like we just lived in the Big 12 was 2008. Remember how, it just revolved Texas Tech circle.
Texas Tech, Oklahoma. Yep. It revolved around me every week.
That was nuts.
I remember that. I mean, those were the good old times in the sun. You and Russillo and Brad and Amanda used to be hanging on the sidelines all the time.
Yeah. Still the greatest night in the history of Lubbock, Texas.
I would agree.
I was there. There's a couple pictures of us. You could see us in the Crabtree Catch if you look closely.
Yes, you can.
At some pictures. I think you might have had a little top on the top there too. You might have had a little hair.
That was right before we decided to just completely shut it down. That was right. I remember 2010 World Cup. I can remember officially being done with it. I remember bringing my Clippers with me to South Africa and putting the adapter in the wall, and that didn't end up very well for the Clippers. So we upon return, we had to get a new pair. So I know 2010 for sure. I came home, but it might have been 2009.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. The keywords are came home. That's how Scott and I refer to it. There's plenty of you out there. Don't be afraid. Just come on home. Everything's fine. It's actually a lot easier once you get past it. I want to start though with that game in Athens, because I'm telling you right now, when I look at this slate, I usually go on, you know, Circa's usually the first ones that put out the lines on Sunday. And I'll scroll down like, ooh, I like that. I like that. I want to see where this goes. I want to see where this goes. And this week I just kept scrolling. And I'm like, oh no. And I'm like, you see Arizona State, Utah. And then I'm like, there it is. Last game, Hawaii, Nevada. Nothing popped out. So then you start going back. And I'm like, you know what? I'm putting it away. Let me look at tomorrow when I wake up and see what's adjusted, see if anything pops out. But what popped out here was obviously seeing an undefeated Kentucky team going on the road for the second time? They've only played at South Carolina, and which was not a pretty win. It was 16-10 there. So when I look at this and I think of Georgia, and I know everybody's talking about, you know, Daniels, when he's going to be back. I mean, if I'm Georgia, I'm going with Stetson Bennett here. And I think he's shown progress. And obviously you're going to win with your defense. And to think about how they just ambushed Arkansas, if Arkansas and Kentucky played this week, I would take Arkansas in that game. Agree?
That's a good game. I don't know if I'd agree.
Neutral site.
I think Arkansas will be favored. I don't know if I would definitely take them or not.
Okay. All right. So anyway, I feel like I know more about Arkansas and what they have. And obviously Ole Miss is a tough factor in that thing, seeing what they did to them last week. But Kentucky's going to be able to, I should say be able to, they're not going to be intimidated by the guys physically up front when you talk about Kentucky's offensive line against Georgia's defensive line. But when I look at the other things that Georgia could do, and this is where it gets into the depth and the ability of that defense. You know, Will Levis has been great for Kentucky. Obviously, they love him there, and they're undefeated. But I think Georgia can make him or put him in predicaments that he hasn't been put into. And that's why I think I would lean to Georgia given the points in this game. I know what I'm getting offensively. Kentucky's defense has been good the last 2 weeks. They've created turnovers, but Kentucky, you know, early on, you know, they were not good with the ball in turnover wise. So I've said it all every week this year. I want more from Georgia's offense. I think I'll get it this week, but I think when I'm looking at this game, I would give the points with Georgia here.
Yeah, you know, I think wanting more from Georgia's offense is kind of relative to what they have available right now. And you look at the players that Georgia has injured, both on the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball, and they're still number one and allowed 33 points all year long. As a team, I went back and looked, like, they thought 33 points all year. 221 different times in a game this year, a team has allowed 33 points or more, which is just incredible. But I'm with you. I think with Carter and Dean and that defensive line, I think it's going to be a long afternoon for, because you're not going to run. You're just not going to run. And this could be a very similar type offensive output for Kentucky to what they had against Florida, where they were across midfield, what, twice, I think it was.
Yeah.
So I would be with you. I would lean towards laying the points here with Georgia as well.
And when I look at the quarterback situation on both sides with Levis and how much I've enjoyed watching him, I don't think Kentucky wants to put him in a situation where they're doing a lot of quarterback runs or they're trying to run option and giving free shots on him, knowing how valuable he is. And that's what I think you need to do against Georgia, is create that extra blocker by running the quarterback and being able to, you know, get better matchups or get better angles in the run game. So that's, I just don't think Kentucky's built to do that. I mean, Robinson's been incredible. I'm sure they're going to try and get him in space, but that's a lot easier said than done. And then Bennett did play last year against Kentucky and just had a complete, you're not going to do anything from Kirby Smart. He was 9 of 13 for 131 yards, and that included two picks. So I think Stetson seeing that defense from last year, I think that helps them. I could see Georgia taking a couple shots early in this game, get that crowd going. And I mean, you were there a couple weeks ago, Arkansas, that it was done, right? First 10 minutes into the game, yeah, that game's over.
10, not even 10.
Five. Yeah, right? So, yeah, I think I'm going to lean towards Georgia. They might be, we'll figure it out. Big Mike Happy Recap will be interesting by the time we get
Big to Mike Rocky. It's going to be a very short Big Mike.
Yeah, I was going to say, it'll be interesting. I want to circle back to Friday night, because can I get your feelings on whether you would rather have Syracuse at home plus the 14 or Cal on the road plus the 13.5? Cal's at Oregon, Syracuse hosting Clemson.
I would rather have Cal plus the 14 now, I see at Caesars Sportsbook. Okay. So I would rather, we'll make it a true apples to apples. I'd rather have Cal plus the 14.
Okay.
Because I think the injuries to Oregon right now and where that team and program is, with Verdell out now, is a big deal. That seems like a lot of points to lay for a team that has been a poor favorite lately. I think it's the last seven games they've been favored. They haven't covered. And they lost last year as close to a double-digit favorite to Cal. Cal, that was a wild result a couple of weeks ago with the blowout loss to Wazoo. But I think each team with the week off, I would be more comfortable taking Cal plus the 14, just because I think there's a chance they score, or I don't know how many points Syracuse is going to be able to score on that Clemson defense. I mean, Clemson might not hit 24, but I don't know if Syracuse hits double digits.
That's the point I was trying to get to, is Syracuse defense has been really good. Obviously gave up points to Wake Forest, but Wake Forest is a pretty capable offense.
They're scoring last week.
Yeah. So I just have, this is going to be one of those where Syracuse, what you're saying, they're not going to be able to score. How long can their offense hang on, or how long can their defense hang on? I love the run game. at Syracuse shown, but I don't think that's going to go against Clemson. I think that defense is going to travel. I saw Ross is going to be back. That helps Uiagalelei, I would think, immensely in the pass game. I think Clemson comes out with a totally different mindset offensively, where there's not a lot as much pressure on them. You know, I think Dabo will let it go here a little bit, knowing that, hey, it's a hell of a lot easier to play on the road with a lead than it is have the chase all the time. So I'm interested to see how Clemson comes out of the gates in that one. You mentioned Cuse not getting the double digits. Kentucky, I think I saw their team total is 9.5. Can they get 10?
Oof.
Because it's pretty, I mean, 22.5 Kentucky's getting, and over under is 44.5.
So you're looking at 30, 31, 10, somewhere around there.
Interesting number.
I think they can get to 10. I think they can.
I think it might be so out of reach. Like if it's, you know, if they get a field goal or something early, you know, you're looking at 23.5. Maybe that's how you get Georgia in points on them, is you pull the starters. Early on, there's some other things. I do think if I wanted to take a big favorite, and this is obviously if Dylan Gabriel's still out, which I think he is, UCF.
Well, plus, you talked about Friday, this the other game, like Friday night. I mean, I could see myself maybe if it gets to 9.5, I could see myself maybe taking San Jose State
with no Starkel.
Yeah, that's the problem.
That's huge. That's
the problem.
Yeah. There's a lot of those this week, and we'll get to as we get to the night games. But quarterbacks is, you know, San Jose State. We talked about them in the beginning of the year, how much we love them, returning starters. But, man, not having Starkel, they've been a totally different team.
Yeah.
And that's tough. But, yeah, that's a good point by you. That's something to keep an eye on, which obviously we don't have the info here as we're taping this Wednesday morning. But, yeah, that's an interesting – all those favorites are in interesting predicaments there. San Diego State on the road at San Jose State. When we look at Saturday, just with UCF and what they have, I feel like this is a chance for Cincinnati to get. I mean, they took advantage of the Temple turnovers in that Friday night game. A little lethargic to start, but the turnovers got them going. I think Cincy might put one on UCF here. Also at noon Eastern, your Indiana, I believe it is homecoming in Bloomington.
And I'm not going to be there?
No. I think there's a lot of requests for you to be out there, but you have priorities, you know?
I do, unfortunately. I'll be on a plane from Athens to Norman.
Okay. Getting a lot of Norman time in there.
Yeah, I don't think we're done either.
Oh.
Yeah, Norman Saturday night is a tough one for me because – the return travel situation is just it's just hard because it's either the late night drive to Oklahoma
Tulsa?
City. Oklahoma City's Tulsa is closer than Tulsa.
Tulsa.
Yeah, that's Stillwater, which is terrible too. But you get the Norman drive to Oklahoma City airport flight, and they just don't match up with getting back to Hartford. So like you don't get back till like 3:15 at least. So by the time you get the car, it's like 4:00 by the time I walk in the door, and it's just rough. Or the other option is the preferred option, which is the option that I did last time, is the hour to shower option, which is fly east with Mr. Herbstreet, get to the airport hotel, take an hour, get in the shower, and get that 6 a.m. and I'm home at 10:30. So that's neither option is good, but that's the best of two bad options.
Yes, it is. And you don't have to worry about getting home for the Jets. They're on a bye week this week. So that's big.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
They are? I missed that. I was so invested last week that I didn't even realize that they were playing on Sunday morning. And I woke up and my wife was like, oh, aren't the Jets on today? And I'm like, I don't know. Are they? That's how dialed in I am. And then I looked at the score and saw that old Zach was like 3 of 11 with an interception. And I'm like, oh, okay. Seems all's right in the world.
So getting back to Bloomington, I mean, it feels like, I don't know, 5 out of 6 weeks, 6 out of 7 weeks, the Michigan State line kind of stinks.
Mm-hmm.
But if And it doesn't matter if Penix plays or not. You know, like, I need to have something to go off of. Like, I thought Rutgers could muck it up last week, and then they gave up 390-plus yard touchdowns, so that went out the window. But I do think Indiana can play better defense than Rutgers. It's just a matter of them scoring. Michigan State's been great at getting to the quarterback and putting pressure on it, and we've seen what Indiana quarterbacks have done when they've had pressure on them, and it's not pretty. And I'm not taking credit away from Michigan State. It's awesome. They're undefeated. Walker is right in the ranks for the Doak Walker Award, I would think, as top running back with the numbers that he's putting up. And it's just, can Michigan State, they got Michigan next week, right? In the look-ahead spot possibly here?
Is it next week, or do they have the off?
Or in the bye week and then Michigan. Yeah. I think that's what you're at. So, you know, it's been a great start to the season. It can't be going any better for Michigan State. It's just something that kind of sticks out in a stinky sense, but I don't want to take Indiana because I don't think they're capable. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense.
Okay.
Yeah, it's hard to back Indiana in this game just because you know what you're getting from Michigan State. And like I said, the questions at quarterback are a big deal. This is an offense that looked completely inept at Penn State. Fortunate to beat Western Kentucky. With that being said, they should have been up big on Cincinnati and had that game in control, but poor red zone execution and a bad targeting call really affected that game. So you say 1 minute it's hard to like them this lot, and then you think back to what they did against the team that's currently right third in the country, and you're like, okay, there is something there. But yeah, I would like to see Penix in a better shape. This is a stay away from me.
Yeah.
I think as a college football fan, as a Big Ten fan, I'm not saying me, but I think an undefeated Michigan State at an undefeated Michigan in a couple of weeks would be an undefeated Michigan in a couple of weeks would be a pretty cool thing. It's gonna be that Big Ten East round robin coming up is gonna be very interesting. Awesome. It's great because they all play each other. It's going to be settled on the field. It's not going to be any – I mean, you say that, and we'll probably come down to some ridiculous convoluted tiebreak. I think – don't hold me to it. I think Clifford will be back, certainly for Ohio State, maybe even the Illinois game next week. Okay. And that's a kid who I don't think my – I don't want to say completely changed because I like his toughness and I like the fight in him, but good God. Like is after what happened Saturday, like is there a more vital player to a team's success than Sean Clifford? Like they were completely inept on offense without him, and they probably beat Iowa with him, and everyone's going, oh, well, he threw two picks in it. The point is, Penn State couldn't get a first down without him. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, Penn State's defense was going to get tired from being on the field all the entire time. Mm-hmm. With Clifford, at least they had the 17 points. They were able to move the ball some, get their defense or some breaks and some rest. And that ultimately caught up with them the second half because they just could not get a first down there. So how important, and this is another little mini rant here, it ties into Caleb Williams as well. Like, how important is it to have a backup quarterback who can play in this day and age with the transfer portal, and everyone thinks they should start, and once people don't start, they're looking for a place out. To be able to keep a kid around who is capable and can play when you need him, that's a massive job for a head coach and a coordinator right now. I mean, how different would Penn State be right now if they were able to keep Will Levis around? And Levis came in that game, and they'd probably be Iowa if Levis is in the game. But Levis left and wanted to go to Kentucky and start, and that's his prerogative to do. But it's the same thing with Oklahoma now. He's going to have to try and manage a situation where I think we all saw a different Oklahoma team with Caleb Williams under center. And but if Spencer Rattler just says, yeah, I'm going to just leave and go prep for the NFL draft, they don't have anything behind them. They have freshman walk-on quarterbacks behind them. So it's going to be interesting to see how Lincoln Riley and that staff can try and keep Spencer Rattler around if and when they ultimately do say, okay, Caleb, well, you're starting this week against TCU.
Yeah, and I don't want to toot my own horn, but I'm going to. And that's what I said, Bear, before the season. Every single hit I did, I had Penn State under, and it was I brought up the quarterback situation. I love Clifford. I love his toughness, but I worried about his recklessness and the hits he's going to take because they didn't have a quarterback behind him with one snap of experience. And you saw that. And it goes back to me. I was wrong because Justin Fields stayed healthy. 2 years ago, I picked Ohio State under because Justin Fields was the guy, and they didn't have anybody behind him. Two guys transferred out once Fields came in. So that stuff, I mean, it's hard to go off a week-to-week basis, but when you look down the road, that stuff matters. And, I mean, yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, that's the talking point out of that game. I know Iowa came back and won the game, but if Clifford stays in that game, they win. And they're undefeated, and now Iowa's got the loss, and everything's different. But Penn State still does have an opportunity to play their way back into this. There's no doubt about that. Is it up against them? Yeah, but they still have an opportunity. And that's what that's a credit to them because they put themselves in that situation. You mentioned Oklahoma. I mean, with them, with Caleb Williams, it was as fun as to watch as possible. But yeah. On the other side, I know they lost, but how fun is Texas? Would start calling those plays, man. Like that offense is great, and I get it. You hit a lull, and you're playing with a lead, and then the pressure's on. But you, I mean, it's really hard to lose a lead like that. I think you're on the up with Texas as a program and as a fan, but tricky spot here with Oklahoma State. I mean, probably the least talked about undefeated team. Would you say that in the country?
Yeah, I would say that mainly because of just how they've been. You look at the games; they just haven't been. People had this vision of Oklahoma blowing teams out with what they did with Baker and Kyler, and that's what they expected. However, they found themselves in games, and give them credit for winning, but it's like the lack of, I hate the phrase, but like when people talk about like style points and looking flashy, yeah. That's what I think people are waiting for on Oklahoma. And I'm not sure this is a team that's capable of doing it. Maybe that changes, like we just talked about with Caleb, but all five of their games against FBS teams this year have been decided by 7 points or fewer. And they've won all five of those games. Like that's the thing. Are you waiting for them either A, and not be playing in these close games, or B, they're going to keep playing these close games and the law of averages is going to even out and they're going to lose some of these games? Because if you look at the other nine teams that have played at least four games decided by 7 points or fewer, those nine have averaged two losses. You know, so like Oklahoma has dodged the bullets and stayed undefeated, but they haven't been covering these games against double digits against FBS teams. The three this year, they were or four rather, I should say, they're fair by 12.5, 17.5, 22.5, and 31 in the last four games against FBS opponents this year. They've won by 6, 3, 7, and 5. So I don't know. I like TCU just because of that, just because I am going to bet on this seemingly larger sample size now from Oklahoma, what we've seen with our eyes. And I think that there might be something to, and maybe you could expand on this a little bit. Like when you're the backup and you come in and it's like, okay, you're not expecting to play. You're not prepping all week like you're the starter. And it's like, okay, Caleb, you're in. You're just kind of going out and playing and you really don't have time to think and like get concerned. I think maybe the week now leading up where he knows he's going to start, he knows he's going to play. He knows the pressure now is on him. I think that could affect Caleb Williams a little bit, and you might not see like the free runs and the spirit and the excitement and the success that he had in this game. I know Duggan and Evans are questionable.
Yeah,
I'd be shocked if they didn't play. Mm-hmm. But I'm leaning towards taking the 13.5. I'd actually see a 14 at circa right now. But I don't know. Am I an idiot for thinking that about Williams and maybe the difference between being a backup quarterback and a starting quarterback?
No, I think it's human nature. You know, you got the monkey off your back where you're going to be under center for that first snap. But when I talk to people that know him, being in this area, and Caleb went to high school right around here now, I mean, you try and find a bad word about him. There isn't any. I've heard Trent Dilfer throw the word humble. His ability, you see, I mean, I watched the spring game. He had this big old knee brace on, and I'm like, I thought he was a dual threat guy. And then there he comes, fourth and one against Texas, and there he goes for 60 yards. So I'm all in on Caleb Williams. I get what you're saying. To me, I look at the other side, and I'm like, if they bust out and blow TCU out, look out, because this could be, you're talking about the sample size in there. It just could be that little of a difference where a guy sees things differently. I think he's got more arm talent than Spencer Rattler. And I know, yes, I was in the minority of that beginning of the year, because everybody saw Rattler do his thing from, you know, QB1 and all that stuff. And he had more hype, and Caleb Williams didn't play football for over a year.
That's the amazing thing.
And come in like that and make those throws. That shows me a ton, man.
It's a big game, because they get a breather the next couple of weeks.
Yes.
At Kansas and home Texas Tech before having at Baylor, then Iowa State and Oklahoma State to end the year. So if they can get through this week, I think they get to kind of exhale a little bit and really just get focused as to really what is at hand. If they win this week, I would think they'd be in a really good shape moving forward.
And that's what you have to do against Oklahoma. You got to put pressure on their secondary. I think I said it last week. I thought they did a good job against Bijan. I mean, they gave up two big runs, and for the most part, they tackled well. But there's still some guys on the back end that look a little confused to me. And TCU needs Duggan, and they need, I think Evans is a real talent at running back. Those are the guys you need to put that kind of pressure on Oklahoma. So that'll be interesting to see in a night game Saturday night. I want, and I also just want to talk about Oklahoma State quick. The running back Warren is really impressive, and I could see Gundy trying to lean on him in running the football against Texas, and maybe trying to make this a lower scoring game, knowing the capability Texas has offensively. We saw the holes in the Texas defense. They're obviously on the field and had a lot of pressure on them in that second half against Oklahoma. So that's a really good noon game, man. I think we're going to learn a lot about, I mean, it's a tough spot for Texas to get back off that loss, but Oklahoma State's got everything to prove. And I think a lot of pressure is on their offense to show out, because you know Texas is going to get some, but how many can you hold them down to? I look at
Iowa State, Kansas State in a Big 12.
Really good game. Really good game there. I'm just trying to get these noon games out, because there's actually some interesting things I wanted, and they're all in the SEC. You got Auburn off that brutal loss to Georgia, against Arkansas, and that brutal loss to Ole Miss. Shout out to Pitt. There was no doubt that he was going for two if they were able to score.
Good for him.
Yep. Didn't like the play call. We got to do something about the lineman downfield on those RPOs, because if you go back and look at the tape of that play, there's four. I mean, they called it finally in that, and you saw Lane on the ground like, oh my God, did we get pass interference? No. It's that flag was that deep because that's where the offensive linemen were for Arkansas when he threw the ball. Just check the tape. There's guys deeper than the ball went in the end zone on that. But when I look at Auburn and I look at Arkansas, I think they come back down a little bit, and that goes with their defense. We know Nick's there was a couple throws that he just didn't even make against Georgia, where you got to take your chances. They had a couple stop and goes where a guy's running free in the second quarter and he looks the other way. It would have been a touchdown. Arkansas, here's what it is. I don't think Auburn could come close to doing what Ole Miss did to that Arkansas defense. And I think Auburn's defense can slow down Arkansas. I think they're more buttoned up there. I look at that over under 53.5. I like that under. I think the winning team in this game scores about 24 points. And even if we get, 28, 24, that's still under. I think that's an under game in Fayetteville Saturday at noon.
Yeah, this is another game too. Arkansas is better than Auburn. But again, they haven't beaten them since 2015. I also wonder where Arkansas is psyche-wise, and I don't want to say health-wise, but 2 weeks ago, you're an undefeated top 10 team, and you get your doors blown off of that, and it happens. Now, and then last week, you play a game where neither team could stop anybody. You go for the win like you should. You don't get it. So now you're sitting here with a couple of losses in a track meet. So I just wonder. I think it'll be I would lean towards what you're saying with the under, because I think it's going to be interesting to see how Arkansas bounces back from that 2 week stretch.
Yeah, and that's I don't really like the side of either game. I just think both defenses will control that game. Yeah, and the thing that sticks out, Bear, from this one is that crazy game last year when you had the Knicks alleged spike fumble, and that's what Arkansas. I mean, they got a loss on it. They won that game.
Yes.
They won that game to me. Knicks was 17 to 28 for 187 in that game. Bigsby ran the ball for 146. And that's what I think you're going to see. I think you're going to see Arkansas play back a little bit. No one like they like to keep everybody in front of you. And I think Auburn will take what they give them and run the ball on Arkansas. And I think Arkansas will do the same, even though they've done a really good job in throwing the ball downfield with KJ. So that's an interesting game. One thing I might have to go against my will, Bear, and you know how I feel. I think you're in the same boat, is giving double digits on the road. But if I'm going to do it in any spot this week, it's going to be with Florida. I look at LSU. I wanted to give Kentucky last week, and I didn't. And I was really mad at myself for not giving that out. You talk about these programs in flux. We know what's going on, what's circling around. More talk about Woodward, the AD at LSU, wanting to get his own guy in there and has wanted to do it since he took the job over. Who knows who it's going to be? But you look at the opt-outs. I just got another alert. Ricks is out for the year. Boutte's out. LSU, I just can't believe they don't have a running back there. The offensive line has plenty of experience, have not played well. Florida has a bad taste in their for the shoe throw game last week. I'll take Mullen dialing up some offense against a suspect LSU defense. So as much as I hate giving double digits, this line stuck out. I thought it was going to be 7.5, 8, and now it's 10, 10.5. I think you might have to look at Dan Mullen down up some offense and taking Florida here, because I mean, everybody's talked about LSU's schedule going forward in the SEC and where's the win. I don't think this is a win for them, even though it's the most unbelievable game from last year to me, is how they got up and went to Gainesville and won. I think there's some payback here, and Florida remembers that kind of stuff. There's obviously bad blood between the two teams from years prior with the rescheduling a game and two home games in a row. So I look at Florida coming in as a capable team and pulling this off. It's not a night game. It's a new 11 a.m. kick in Baton Rouge. So I look at Florida in that game.
Yeah, and this could be a situation too where that crowd, you know, the LSU fans, they are as dialed in and as honest as they come. They will turn on you on a dime, and this could be a pretty ugly boo fest if this gets out of hand. But yeah, I think there's going to be a whole lot of frustration taken out on LSU the next couple of weeks. Ranger, the AP people going to get a chance to kick them while they're down, and it's feasible that the only game they win the rest of the year is Yul Monroe.
Yeah.
It's interesting too, because someone told me a couple of weeks ago that it's more of like the perception of LSU and like where they'd be now in the whole Coach O situation. Like someone told me a couple of weeks ago that had Greg Schiano been the Tennessee head coach and not gotten run out of Tennessee before really whatever was getting hired, like Joe Burrow was going to go with Schiano to Tennessee. Imagine that. Like, imagine if 2018 and 2019 at LSU never happened because Joe Burrow was never there because he was in Knoxville. Like, what would the perception of that LSU program be now? So, now I doubt Coach O would still be there. So, it's just amazing how some of these like what if situations had one little thing changed. Of course, the way our history might be changed. Just interesting.
Yeah, the ultimate domino effect. A&M off that monster win against Alabama, laying 8.5 against, well, you can't even say worst defense in the SEC because you still have Vanderbilt in there. but as, did you think A&M was going to be given more? Because I did.
No, okay. Because I think they probably built in a little bit of a letdown line here on the road. Also a little bit of where did that come from Calzada based on and that offense, what that offense did against Power Five teams a couple of weeks prior to the Alabama game. They really hadn't done much. So that was a stunning of a performance, I think, by Calzada, and they had the big special teams touchdown right after the block punt. Mm-hmm. Everything kind of went right for A&M that night, and good for them. Those we talked about it last week about how were they more dangerous now because they didn't have that number in front of their name. Oh, a top 10 A&M team, and that game would get built up, and that's when they've fallen flat on their face in recent years at home. But they kind of went out and just played with it without a care and played to win and played clearly the best game of the year. And I think of all the losses at Alabama for Nick, that was probably the worst one. I mean, because A&M didn't do a whole lot in the second half.
No,
he gave the warning signs to his team in the week. And I joked about it too. Like he was saying how it could be a letdown game, which I like to believe that, okay, he's made his team well aware. That's the message. And they're going to come out and play. The fact that they didn't respond and this defense hasn't been as good as people thought it was. Yeah. Getting blown up by LSU a couple of years ago, that's not bad. And I'm not talking about like his first year when they lost to UL Monroe, but like mm-hmm. since then, no. Like that was as bad. That was probably the situation and the way it happened. That's probably the worst loss he's had at Alabama.
Totally agree. But
good for A&M. For
absolutely. And that's what I was going to say. I'm so happy for Calzada, man. Taking that hit from Malachi Moore, the second play of the game, I think it was. And, you know, going in an injury tent in the second half and coming out. I mean, what I just thought was so good was watching him have the confidence in himself and anticipating throws. And then when you watch him in weeks previous, he held on to the ball and just wasn't smart with it and hesitated. And when guys do that and they don't have that belief in himself, that affects them. And I think he did that in a brutal spot. You know, he's bummed he didn't win the job. And then he comes out in a brutal situation at Colorado, throws a touchdown pass to get the hell out of there with a win and hasn't put it together. And then he does in the biggest stage that they're on. So really happy for them. I'm interested in A&M's defensive effort out of that game, knowing if Missouri could do anything, it'd score some points. And that over under is enticing to me with the over at 60.5. Cause I think that the A&M could easily put 35 plus up. It's just a matter of what Missouri
does. Simply by running the ball. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So there's that. Nebraska, man.
What do you say?
Try and get up off the deck again and get a win on the road at Minnesota. They're more than capable. The improvements are there. Did you see the interference call before the half that led to the Michigan touchdown to go up 13-0?
No, but no, because I did not have my I was flying back and I did not have the Dish TV up yet. It was not working on it. I finally got it in the second half, but based on the Twitter reaction, it was
atrocious.
That's the unanimous consensus opinion.
And
it was terrible
to still come out of the locker room down that instead of, it should have been, you know, maybe 9-0 with a field goal there and to take the lead in the second half. Keep doing what you're doing, Nebraska. It's improvement. I know it hasn't been great, but I appreciate you covering. Also last week, but 3.5 at Minnesota, that stinks to me. Rutgers -2 at Northwestern.
I can get there with Nebraska this week.
Okay. All right.
I can get there. I don't know if it's Big Mike Happy Recap-esque.
All right.
Well, but put it in ink yet, well, like a TCU, I'm going to take plus 14 mm-hmm. for sure.
Okay,
but Nebraska's on the just off to the side right now because they look like a team that one of these weeks everything. Well, it did the week before against a bad Northwestern team.
Yep,
but they have that effort in them, and I don't think this is a team that is going to be down on itself. I think the way they bounce back from some of these losses, the Michigan State loss, the way they came back from that, I think they'll bounce back from that Michigan loss. I think they realize that they are a good team and they're close. And you know, I think I'm going to get there with the rest of this week.
Okay. Virginia does it again. They're giving 11 to Duke. Iowa, 11.5 against Purdue.
I heard Purdue might have some COVID issues.
Okay. Something to keep an eye on there. Purdue just doesn't force turnovers, and that's what you got to do to help yourself against the Iowa D.
They don't force turnovers, and they don't score.
Yeah.
That's a problem. 13 points each of the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, they're in the hundreds, I want to say, in total offense. Baylor laying 6 to BYU after that loss to Boise. Miami plus 7 at Chapel Hill. You can have it.
Do you think there's any where would the advantage lie, if there is any, for in the BYU Baylor game? Is it, would it be for BYU knowing what Jeff Grimes is going to run at Baylor, being that was like his offense in Provo?
No, I think it's the other way. I think it's Grimes knowing BYU's personnel on defense.
Okay.
I do.
That's why I ask. Okay.
I do. I really do. I think he has the goods to go at that, especially seeing BYU last week. Not at their best, and that's a credit to BYU because they played great all season long until that spot at home too. That was I give Van Pelt credit. He was on Boise in that one. If Virginia Tech doesn't have Burmeister, that's an issue. Getting 5. I mean that second half quarterback. I don't think Virginia Tech had a passing yard in the third quarter of that game, which is hard to do. Yeah.
It's down to 4.5 right now, by the way.
Oh, you're not going to hear this again the rest of the year.
You like Kansas? Yourself.
No, brace yourself. Colorado is favored by 7 against Arizona. That's woof.
That's a rough watch right there.
Hmm.
Let me guess. That's a perfect game for the Pac-12 network. Nobody will be able to find it. That way, nobody will be able to watch it. Just let it play and let it be forgotten about.
Arizona at Colorado, 3:30 Eastern on Pac-12 network.
Hell yeah, that's a perfect spot for it. Tree falls in the forest and nobody's there to see it or hear it. Did it actually happen? That's Arizona, Colorado.
Would you rather take Rice plus the 18 on the road at San Antonio or Mississippi State plus the 17 at home?
I would take both.
Okay.
I think Mississippi State is going to move the ball on Alabama. I think their defense is better than you think. I think it's obvious knee-jerk, oh, Alabama lost. Now they're going to blow everybody out the rest of the way. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's that easy. Maybe ultimately Alabama does cover that number, but I'm not willing to run to the window in late 17 with Alabama right now on the road against a team that can score and a team that isn't, oh, by the way, just beat the team that just beat A&M.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, and UTSA is another team that they play close games. Mm. Maybe they're due to break out and what a big game, but Rice, I think, is just pesky enough where they could hang around for a little while.
All right. My issue with Mississippi State here is I think the defense is can hang around. I just look at how stubborn Leach is throwing the ball, and if Bama's going to play back, you got to run the ball and just take those 5-yard gains, and they refuse to do that, and I wonder – if Alabama, so they'll have more back because that was targeting in the first half. That's huge. You saw Jimbo go right at the backup for him because I think he's the most valuable guy in Bama's secondary, and that proved to be true Saturday night. So that's it, it. I'm really interested to see how Bama comes out because, you know, people want to talk about the play calling and the red zone and the one series. And I still am blown away by what Bryce Young could do, man. He is phenomenal to me. And I do want to see some more out of the wide receivers. I think they have difference makers. Maybe Mechie was a better matchup last year when the other teams put their good guys on the other type of guys. So I'm looking at him. Yeah, I'm looking at him. But I think the tight ends too could prove a to be a problem against Mississippi State's defense. So I want to see Alabama offense there. You like TCU plus the points. 82 is your over under in Knoxville. 82.
First total in the '80s this year, I think maybe.
82.
I'm sure somebody knows.
I mean, I still say, like, going back, I believe Heupel was calling the plays at Oklahoma in 2007. And that was my first time seeing Oklahoma in person in a long time. And to see, I still think they're the fastest paced team. A Heupel system is the fastest there is. And then the idea of what, just thinking about this, knowing how fast they go. Now, Hooker's been great since he's taken over. They feel like they seem to get some things going. They'll run the ball. Well, I know there's a game against Missouri in there, so that pads the stats. But you just look it out. Last time you saw Ole Miss's defense against Arkansas, not great. And then you factor in that Ole Miss offense against – I mean, that's a tough one to take the under. I know it's a high number, but that there's going to be a lot of possessions in that game.
I think it was Peter Burns who posted posed a question on Twitter for one of his radio shows, and did like an SEC like surprise disappointment blah blah. I had Tennessee at 4-2 was my biggest surprise because I expected nothing from this team. And yeah, they lost a couple of games that they were expected to lose against Florida and Pitt. But the way they played and the way they moved the ball and put up points, granted it were against Missouri and South Carolina, but the fact that they're 4-2 heading into the back end of their schedule, that surprises me a whole lot. So kudos to them for exceeding at least expectations in my mind. I'm sure they had higher expectations. Now we'll see what happens the next four games with Ole Miss, Bama, Kentucky, and Georgia. But this team is definitely showing some life on offense and good for them.
Yeah. I think if Hooker starts the year, they beat Pitt. Just going back and watching and thinking about that. Good game in the ACC. Yes, I said that. Good game in the ACC. NC State -3 at BC.
And that's the other game I like.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I like BC in this game. I know they have that 21 game losing streak against ranked teams, but you're never gonna get a better chance to snap that streak against a fringe top 25 team at home as a short underdog. They got a much needed week off after the game at Clemson where they came so close to pulling it up. So the way that game ended was just terrible. I think Jeff Hafley with that defense and the running game that they have now, I think it's a great spot for BC. I love Jeff Hafley as a coach.
Me too.
I love the way they've responded without Dracovic playing, really is relying on the running game and the defense. I think they can do that on Saturday, and I'll take BC +3 and on the money line.
The only reason I think NC State has a significant advantage at the quarterback position with Dracovic out, I like Devin Leary. I think he's a capable player. That's a good game Saturday night in Chestnut Hill, which should be rocking. That's one of the best atmospheres we have.
Gonna have to bring in the extra. Gonna have to bring in the extra portable Musco lighting.
Maybe for the big. Gotta see if the Red Sox have a game that night too, because we know.
Yeah, they might. Oh, that's true.
That takes away.
Yeah, you might have ALCS. So well, they won't have home field. So you figure by the time it starts, a game would be in Houston. So maybe they can bring their Sony transistor TVs into alumni stadium and watching the stands as opposed to staying home. So that's a great point, though. You're right. Yeah. They're going to be so invested in the Red Sox and the LCS as opposed to BC. So yeah, be interesting.
Am I nuts to think Am I nuts to like Army plus 14 against Wisconsin?
No. Why would you be nuts to like Army? Wisconsin can't score.
Like, they're number one against the run.
Yes.
Army lost to Ball State.
I know. you want to lay 14 points with Wisconsin,
no,
though?
No. I just, quarterback could be out for Army too. Like, that's a tough one, but I think they're going to make the column. How many possessions are going to be in? Like, think about Tennessee, Ole Miss.
And
Army and Wisconsin. That game's going to be 2 hours.
Good. Can we do that for ABC Prime on Saturday?
That is 8 o'clock Eastern.
It's going to be the exact opposite of the game that we're going to have. Army, Wisconsin is going to be 2 hours. West Virginia, Oklahoma is going to be four.
All right.
But seriously, last three times Army's been an underdog against the Power Five team, they lost by 3, 3, and 7 against West Virginia, Michigan, and Oklahoma. So,
all right.
And I don't trust the Wisconsin. Maybe unders to play. Maybe you just
39.
Yeah, and 28-7
is a number.
28-7 is a real possibility.
It very much is. That would be a loser if we take Army, but I think we'll take Army.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe just play the under.
And a couple night games in the Pac-12 where I like the road teams, and I know the lines are telling me not to take them, but sometimes I don't care. You know, we went 0-5 earlier this year. I don't care anymore.
Sometimes you just have to say screw it. Hell with it.
UCLA +2 at Washington.
This line stinks.
Yeah,
like this is the I'm confused line. Why is Washington favored? Did UCLA initially open up favored and then it flipped? Is that what happened?
I don't think so. I thought I saw UCLA like +1, but it could have been. I mean, the way books are, that could have been a possibility.
Yeah, I don't get this one at all.
I just think UCLA is way more capable. And I'll take my chances with them. And Arizona State, a pick 'em now in Salt Lake. I get Utah has had a lot going on with the program, and they went to LA and got a win. And I know it's USC. I like what I've seen from Arizona State.
Last couple of weeks, yes.
Yeah. I mean, they've been impressive. Daniels has been good. And I think he got off that game last week, started that with like a 35-yard touchdown run. And like, you could just see the juices flowing in that team. And I think their defense is legit. I think they can make Utah one dimensional. I look at Arizona State on the road there. And then another team in the Mountain West who's been good, covered 4 or 6 to start the year, is that Air Force team, man. We talked about them before the year in the Mountain West. A lot of guys back. They had the weird schedule last year. They're at Boise, who could be in a letdown spot off of that win at BYU. The numbers +4 for Air Force. To me, that's on Air Force's defense. If they're that good, I think they win and obviously cover that game.
You know, I'm with you on Arizona State. I think that's one of the things. You don't want to overreact to early season results, because I had talked about how ASU hadn't really been impressive and been clicking, and then they lost at BYU, and then you come back the last couple of weeks and you put forth a great effort against UCLA in the road win, and then get David Shaw to punt on 4th and 5 from the 39, and things go well. But yeah, I think what we've seen from ASU in the last couple of weeks is the team that a lot of us thought we would see. I think this line has just come down as well. I think it opened at 2 and is now a pick, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
I'm reading my own.
What would they say? The steam.
But I would be with you. I would be on ASU in this game.
Okay.
A little extra rest as well. And the emotions of Utah has had to deal with.
Here's another, and you touched on it with not being impressive. They played at a brutal environment in Provo, and it showed. They had a bunch of false starts, and they could have an argument that they'd be undefeated still, too, because after that unbelievable fumble, he did step out, and that should have been called, which is a play to keep in your back of your mind as the season goes forward if Arizona State keeps winning. And then the last one is Hawaii at Reno, Hawaii plus the 14. Anything else we didn't get to? K-State, Iowa State's a really good game. I just don't like
I have no interest in it. Yeah.
That could be an under game, 51.5, both defenses.
Yeah.
Familiar with each other.
You were talking about Sean Clifford before and being worried about and playing the Penn State under. That was what we talked about too with K-State, just the way they run their offense. And so quarterback run heavy, you just didn't trust a quarterback to stay healthy. So they're another team that that fell onto that boat. Yeah, you hit on UCF, Cincinnati. Like it's Cincinnati, I think, realizes the position that they're in. And this is, a UCF team that's kind of living on reputation from the team that they were the year they went undefeated and beat Auburn. Like, this is a totally different offense now. Their offense is really struggling without Gabriel. I think defensively they're up against it. I think Cincinnati could put a big number on them. But yeah, I don't see much else in terms of the things that
light
slate. It's a light slate. A lot of teams are off.
Yeah.
B, it's a light slate in terms of things that we actually like. So sometimes it happens.
Actually,
And then
is there any doubt in your mind? Go ahead.
I was gonna say, and then we'll get yelled at by Big Cat. This is one of those weeks where we'll say, I don't like the Big Cat will come back with the don't make the board love you. So
is there any doubt in your mind the Giants win game five?
Well, I hope they don't. I hope they don't. I hope the Dodgers win A, because I played the Dodgers in the series prior to game three. And then I have the Braves wheeled with the Astros and the Red Sox. I wheeled them with all four AL teams in World Series matchups. So Dodgers Braves is very good for me. So
here's what. Yeah, that is very good. I have a chance to go 4-for-4 in all the division series because I just bet all the teams I did not want to win. I bet the Red Sox, I bet the Astros, I bet the Braves, and I bet the Giants. So,
So you're set then. But does that series price seem a little light, by the way? Astros, Red Sox, minus 150. Like, that seems really light. Like, I would have expected the Astros to be a bigger favorite, which I think it shows to show that the odds makers have a little bit more respect for the Red Sox than the betting public does. I mean, I might be willing to play the Red Sox here at plus 130 or so in the series.
Oh, I already have, and I hope it keeps going up. We don't want to see any more success out of that team. But I give them credit, man. I remember going back to opening day and watching them, and I'm like, I sort of like this lineup. Like, you got a Kike Hernandez who has plenty of playoff experience with the Dodgers. Obviously, Devers and Bogarts are phenomenal players. JD Martinez is going to give it to you. And in the back of my mind the whole year, I thought about Sale. And I'm like, if you get anything out of him, that's a huge plus. Now, the bullpen is not great, obviously, and Houston comes at you with those bats. But I think the Red Sox are definitely worth a shot in that series, knowing how capable they are.
What a great storyline, too, with these two fine franchises and teams and organizations. And I can't say managers, because the Houston manager who was involved in it is gone, but the Red Sox manager who was knee-deep in it. So,
yeah. All right.
Fun times. Two teams you can root for.
Yeah, exactly. all right. I think that'll do it. So for the Big Mike Happy Recap, here we go. Hold your butts.
Big Mike Happy Recap.
I'm going to go the under in the Auburn-Arkansas game. I'm going to go Florida minus the 10.5. I'm going to go Army plus the 14. UCLA plus the 2. And Arizona State, pick them.
For Big Mike right now, just give me TCU plus the 14 against Oklahoma. BC plus the 3 against NC State. And lay the 3.5 with Nebraska versus Minnesota.
All right. Bear, safe travels.
Thank you, sir.
I will be headed out to the desert for the weekend. I will say hi to all your friends.
Arizona?
The one north of Arizona.
Are you going to the golf tournament?
I am. I will be at the CJ Cup.
I hate you.
And I will be at the stadium swim on Saturday.
Oh, you are terrible. I'm gonna have to send Mike Palm a note, making shit, and tell him that your cabana is no longer available, and that you have to head off the strip for a. You've ruined my day now.
Sorry, I will tell Mr. Palm you said hello when I see him in person. If he's got enough time to come say hello to me at his establishment.
Exactly. So. He'd probably be dialed in on a second division Spanish soccer under, like I probably would be as well. I was going to say, like, I probably would be. It was so funny. I sent him a note the other day saying, I played under in like South Africa, Ethiopia. And so he's like, oh yeah, I have that one too. It's perfect. Two peas in a pod. Good dude.
Yeah. Very good. So
by the way, speaking of that, was there anything more predictable last week than Wazoo beating Cal? Was there anything more predictable than that happening, knowing that we would be going to Corvallis next week if the Beavs won?
No. And I watched it too. So close on that last fourth down.
Because Pac-12.
Yep. Good luck. And now I'm looking at it and I have two Pac-12 games on the list. So that's not good.
No, that's okay.
That's been a rough league.
What time is UCLA Washington? 8:30 Eastern. Oh, that's too bad. Chip loves that last in the game of the night.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to send him a text to unwind him up. what'd you do to get out of that 10:30 Pac-12 game to wind him up on that?
8:30 on the big Fox. So, all right, Bear.
We'll be on in the truck.
Travel safe and take us away.
The less you bet, the more you lose when you win.
You can listen or follow the Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Plus, don't miss more from Stanford Steve on ESPN SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. And check out the Bear on College Game Day on ESPN.